Hello, and welcome to this month's World Changer message. You know, this is the message for February, and I'm sure that most of you know I really love sharing and ministering and teaching about relationships and about being in love and about staying in love. As a matter of fact, you know, this month's World Changer message called Beating the Odds is actually a brand new series that I've done about relationships, and honestly, I think it's one of the very best teachings that I've ever done about developing relationships and how to, you know, how to create love and all of those kinds of things. So be sure and check it out. I know you're going to enjoy it. But you know, this month we're going to do a campaign. I don't really know what it's being called, but on Facebook there's a campaign about the month of love. Now, I started out calling this 28 Days of Love, and I'll tell you why I did. You know, sometimes, and I don't always do this, but sometimes I like, rather than to take a one special day and have that day be the day that, you know, that we express a birthday or we express Valentine's, express our love, sometimes what I like to do is just take the whole month and dedicate the whole month to expressing love. So during the month of February, and you may have already seen this on Facebook, and you may already be participating, but if you're not, I hope that you will, because I'm encouraging everyone to express their love to their spouse every single day for the month of February. Rather than just having one day that becomes special, make every single day special. Now, there's an interesting method to my madness here. You know, it only takes 21 days to establish a new habit. If you do something every single day for 21 days, it tends to become second nature. Now, most of the negative things that I've seen in people's relationships are things that they trained themselves to do. For example, over and over again, I've sat down with couples where one person wants to express themselves, wants to express love, and the other person in the relationship tends to shut down, tends to not really say very much. Now, those people who don't say very much are usually people who are not in touch with their feelings. And it's not that they don't have feelings, but they're not in touch with their feelings. Really, more specifically, they're not in touch with their positive feelings. And usually that comes from a childhood where maybe they had disappointments over and over again. It doesn't mean they were abused. It doesn't mean that they had a horrible childhood. But maybe there were things that they hoped would happen or wanted to happen that didn't happen. Maybe there were things that were promised to them kind of regularly that didn't come to pass. Or it could have been a situation where they were, where their ideas were criticized, you know, that they were the biggest dreamer in the family and everybody else put their dreams down. It could be from physical or emotional abuse or abandonment. It could come from any number of things. But as a child, we figure out how to survive. And many times, surviving is where you just don't reveal anything about yourself. That's kind of how my childhood was. I was the one in the family that really, if I was angry, you probably wouldn't know it until I was ready for you to know it. If I was afraid, I tried not to let anybody know it. And so I learned how to survive by shutting down my communication, by not expressing my feelings. And so, you know, for some people, they just teach themselves not to have positive feelings. And it is learned. It has nothing to do with their DNA. It has nothing to do with who they are. It is a learned trait, which means that you can learn to do something else. But as I tell everybody, and if you're one of the people I've ever talked to about this, please don't think I'm just singling you out, because I've had this conversation with hundreds of people. But what happens is the whatever technique you use to survive at some point in your life, it became a valuable technique. And as far as how you see it on a subconscious level, if you stop using that technique, you stop surviving. You're going to be vulnerable. You're going to get hurt. Now, the problem is when you take your survival mechanism into a healthy, safe relationship, that is what makes you totally dysfunctional. That's what makes the relationship go bad, because you don't need to be in survival mode. Being in survival mode in a safe environment is sort of like having post-traumatic stress syndrome, where you're out in a cafe, you're a war veteran, and and you've seen combat and you're out in a cafe and a car backfires outside and suddenly you start turning tables over and making a barricade to protect yourself. Well, you know, if you did that, people would think, oh man, this guy really needs some help. Well, that's what you're doing with your survival mechanism. And all of us have different types of survival mechanisms. And again, we don't have to come from an abused background for this to be the case. It's just every background, people create survival mechanisms. So we teach ourselves how to ignore our positive feelings, our feelings of love, our feelings of happiness. And really, we harden ourselves to that part of our heart. And the problem is then we don't know how to get out of it. And we think, well, this is just how I am. I just don't express myself. I don't, you know, say what I need to say. Well, let me tell you something. One of the things that I have learned in Jesus is that you can be who you want to be. Now, it's really important that the emphasis is on being, not on doing. You do have to look at what you need to do, and that's not legalism. Some people might try to make you think it is, but there are things you need to do. But all doing needs to be preceded by being. Because you're in Jesus, you are free to be the person you want to be. You're free to have the character that you want to have. And so you can choose any character traits that you want. And when you make that choice, everything in you is going to come together, and the grace of God is going to work in you if you commit this to the Lord to be able to walk in that part of your identity in Christ. And so you can decide that you want to be more expressive. You can decide that you want to be more in touch with your feelings. You can decide that you want to give and receive love more effectively. And when you make that decision, then that's where behavior comes in. Now remember, if you start from just the behavior perspective and you try to just do behavior modification, it just never really, really works like you think it's going to. But if you start with dealing with your beliefs and you start making choices, and particularly if those choices are related to your identity, it's amazing how simple it becomes to walk in these new choices. Well, if you can establish a new habit in 21 days, just stop and think. 21 days of looking for the very best in your mate. 21 days of looking for things to compliment. 21 days of looking for ways of expressing love. It's going to become a way of life to you. It's going to become a new habit. It's going to become second nature to you. So that's why I started out calling this 28 Days of Love, because I'm telling you, remember, love is about having value, considering something precious or holding it in high regard. And even love is something that's learned, learning to look for the best in people, learning to notice what you value instead of what you don't value, learning to notice and recognize the good things that people bring to your life instead of always focusing on the negative things that people bring into your life. And all of those are learned and developed skills, but they are developed with the grace of God working in you. You can do this. Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than carefully concealed love. Or as one translation says, open rebuke is better than hidden or secret love. So, you know, from this you start realizing that love that is not expressed is not only is it of no real value, love that is not expressed is not even as good for the other person as an open rebuke. Now, let me ask you this. Does your spouse like an open rebuke? You know, how would they feel if you got them out in a bunch of people, in front of a bunch of people, and openly rebuked them? Well, I'll tell you, they would feel terrible. They would be angry at you. They would be hurt. They would feel rejected. You'd probably have a big fight on your hands. Well, hiding your love or not expressing your love to them is more damaging and more painful to them than that open rebuke. The only difference is it doesn't happen all at once. It happens day after day after day after day, like the continual dripping of water. So of all the things that we really want to do in our lives, you know, first and foremost, we want to commit ourselves to walking in love. But secondly, we want to commit ourselves to expressing love, expressing value, expressing appreciation, acknowledging the good things that other people do in our lives. You know, one of the reasons I share so much on relationships, I got to looking back and probably, you know, other than the basics of faith, righteousness, grace, and peace, and the love of God, I probably share more about relationships than any other area of life. But yet, you look back at the major part of all of the Old Testament commandments were commandments about how to treat one another. So I realized, you know, God's a God of love, and all of the commandments, they weren't given to you to make you righteous. They were not given to you to get you to earn something from God. They were given to you to show you how to properly relate to one another, how to have love in your life, how to express value for people, how to treat people the way God would treat them himself. And so you start realizing this high premium that God has on the way that we treat each other. So I realize there's a reason that God has led me over the years to speak more about relationships, and not just marriage relationships, friendships, business relationships, how to work with other people, how to get along with other people, how to solve conflicts. If you go to our web store, or if you look at my product catalog, you'll see I've probably got more about relationship and communication than almost anything else. But, you know, there's something for me personally that causes me to want to go here more than anywhere else. And I just want to tell you, making a decision to walk in love changed my life more than anything else that happened. It changed my life on a felt level, a relationship level, an emotional level. It changed my life more than anything other than getting my sins forgiven when I was born again. When I was born again, I got to experience the forgiveness that God had already extended to me in Jesus. I just didn't know about it. And so, man, I tell you, it was incredible for me to leave my wicked past and guilt and shame behind and discover that I was a brand new person and start a whole new life. Man, you're talking about an emotional change. But that doesn't mean that suddenly I knew how to relate to people, because I didn't. Now, I look back at the first 8 or 10 years of my Christian life, and the scary thing is this, because I went in the, you know, I was in the ministry 5 minutes after I got saved. I started sharing Jesus with all of my friends. I became a street evangelist. And that doesn't mean I stood on street corners and shouted at people. It means I just prowled the streets and found ways to engage in conversations with people and lead them to Jesus. Now, I don't think I did much damage doing that, because people didn't have to have prolonged involvement with me. But man, I look at places where I went in and helped start churches, or places where I would go in and be there anywhere from a few weeks to a few years. And I think, man alive, I don't see how these people tolerated me, because I didn't understand much about love. I definitely didn't understand much about expressing, you know, value for people. All I knew about was get the job done, win the loss, touch the world, change people's lives. And that came from something healthy, but that didn't mean that it was affecting everybody around me in a healthy way. You know, one of the great changes in my life, and I'm going to release a book on this. And I've talked a lot about this before, about communications. But one of the great changes that took place in my life is when I went through the book of Proverbs, I took every scripture in the book of Proverbs that said anything about words, the tongue, the mouth, and this sort of thing. And I started reading and meditating on these scriptures. Because, see, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and wisdom is the practical application of truth. Now, keep in mind, in the New Covenant, and if you got my series, The Mystery of Iniquity, or if you even listen to me teach this, you start realizing, you know, all this talk about the law being done away, that's just absolutely not true. We're not under the law, But the law is not done away. Now, the law is done away for righteousness. In other words, we don't look at the law as any way to make us righteous. But the law is still God's divine prescription for how to walk in love. In fact, if we yield to the Holy Spirit and walk in step with the Holy Spirit, or if we walk in love, the Bible tells us that we will fulfill all of the law. And we'll be fulfilling it because we're operating from the motive of love. But I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to walking in love, it's not about how you feel. See, there's so many times that we take how we feel about someone and we hold it on the inside and we don't express it. And we think just our actions alone is enough to express the love that we have for them. And yes, those actions, you know, are valuable. You know, there's so many men, and this is kind of a stereotypical thing, but you know, there are just a lot of men that will say, you know what? I don't have to tell you I love you. I go out and bring a check home every week. That should tell you that I love you. Well, not necessarily. They don't know if you're doing that out of obligation. They don't know, you know, they don't know why you're doing that. And even though you're doing that, that has nothing to do with saying I have value for you. And so I started looking at all the ways that you communicate. Now, in communication, it's important that you understand this. People are more influenced by how you say something than they are in what you say. Studies show that nonverbal communication, the tone of your voice, the look on your face, the way you're standing when you say it, all of these things actually become the means whereby people interpret what you really meant to say. And I think 80% of all communication is based on the nonverbal things that happen. And man, when I began going through the book of Proverbs, I started realizing that I just really did not know how to communicate with people. And it was so interesting because one of the very next things that happened to me after I went through the book of Proverbs on this was I got introduced to the behavioral profile system. And I got to tell you, that really brought it home to me to start understanding how people want it me to communicate with him. And I started realizing that love doesn't communicate the way that makes me feel comfortable. Love communicates the way that it makes the other person feel comfortable. Now, it's not manipulation because I'm not changing what I want to say to the person. I'm saying it the way they want me to say it. You know, I'll give you a good example. Back a few years ago when one of my daughters was going through a really, really rough time, on the month of her birthday, what I decided I would do was instead of buying her a big birthday present, every single day I would buy her just a little present of some kind, $5, $10. It wasn't a lot of money. So that at the end of the month, I didn't really spend much more on her than I would have if I'd have bought her a present. Now, I did that because the way she's wired emotionally, she really would prefer that much more than she would have preferred getting one big present. Now, you flip that over, and in February, Valentine, I'm wanting to do something great for Brenda. And I know, not because I'm guessing at this, because I've asked her and we've talked about it, Brenda really would not enjoy getting a small gift like that every single day. She would rather get one significant gift. And it's not about the price. It's just about the significance of it. And so you start realizing that everybody wants something different. You know, a great book everybody should probably read is the book about love languages, because everybody has a different love language. And so many times we can be trying to show love to someone, and we're trying it based on what's important to us. We're trying it based on what we consider to have value. And we got to remember that the truth is not what we value. The truth is what they value. The truth is how they want it to be said, how they want it to be expressed. You know, one of my daughters pretty regularly just tells me, because, you know, I always want to do something for my girls on any special holiday. And, you know, one of my girls has said to me several times, look, don't buy me a present. That's not my love language. My love language is spending time with you. And she'll say, you know, wait till I can come home. And when we come home, just let's go out together. Let's go eat together. Let's go to the coffee shop together. Let's shop together. But basically, she would just rather spend time and do something with me than for me to buy her a gift. Now, interestingly, for me, just by way of example, you know, I don't really like manufactured cards, you know, manufactured Christmas cards or manufactured birthday. I don't say I don't enjoy them, but I'm just saying, you know, they don't really mean much to me. What means something to me is what a person writes to me out of their own heart. So a lot of times, all of my kids kind of know this. So if they get me a birthday card or get me something, they know that what I'm looking for is what they write themselves. And that means more to me than a gift. It means more to me than a card. And plus, I kind of lean toward that way of, I just like to spend time with you. And that's one of the greatest gifts that you can give me. So the point is this. We've got to find out what makes the people around us feel loved. And one thing for sure, we all have to express it verbally. But let me say this about expressing it verbally. When you express it verbally, don't let your behavior contradict what you're saying. If your behavior contradicts what you're saying, then that verbal expression really becomes a reproach. It becomes something they don't like. It becomes something that will actually make them angry. And it's better not to say anything than it is to say something and then for all of your other behavior to contradict that. Listen, greatest thing in my life, other than experiencing the love of God for myself, was making the decision that I was going to express love to all the people around me, and that when I left people, that they were going to feel better about themselves and about God. Now, let me put a parenthesis in there. As a minister, many times I've had to challenge people. As a father, many times I've had to challenge people. And I've had some of them say, that's not love. You're not walking in love. Well, that's also not a way of life, and that's not something I do unless I would see that somebody was in a desperate, desperate situation. But by and large, day after day, we should want people to feel better about themselves and about God and about their relationship with us after every single contact. So even if you don't enter into our Facebook event this month, be sure and enter into this as a way of life. By the way, if you do enter into our Facebook event this month, you could win an all-expense-paid date night. So go on Facebook, get involved in this, and start sharing with your mate every day. And we're going to pick a winner at the end of the month, and we're going to send them out on an all-expense-paid date. And I hope it's you.